Okay, it's 5:30. I'd like to call this meeting of December 2nd, 2013, Story County Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Can we have roll call, please?
Peggy?
Here.
Couser?
Here.
Gast?
Here.
Struthers?
Here.
Donaldson?
Here.
Miller? Absent.
Okay, thank you. And we have in front of us an agenda for tonight. Any corrections, additions, subtractions to it?
We, at the last meeting, asked the plat be put on the old business for this meeting, and I didn't see it, so I take it they did not complete their processes. Okay. Move approval of the agenda.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. That'd be Struthers. And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay. We'll work off this agenda then for the night. And at this time, approval of the minutes. Everybody have a chance to read the minutes over?
Move approval of the minutes.
Been moved. Seconded by Couser. Pardon? Gast. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and those opposed? Okay, the minutes have been approved. At this time, we have a period of time for public comment, and this is for anything not on the tonight's agenda. So if there's something you'd like to bring before the commission that is not on tonight's agenda, this is the time to do it. Step to the microphone, give your name, address, and we will listen.
Good evening. I'm Lucy Martin. I'm the Story County Auditor. I live at 506 25th Street in Ames. I'm here tonight as the Story County Auditor with a request for the board to consider some scheduling changes on your calendar for the Monday, June 2nd and Monday, November 3rd. Your commission always meets the first Monday of the month. Statutorily, we hold in even-numbered years both the primary and the general election the first Tuesday following the first Monday of the month in either June or November. The issue is that we keep our equipment up here. There was a period of time where we kept a lot of our equipment over in Ames. We keep it all here now. We also have added laptop computers, sometimes several for precincts. We have 70 laptop computers that we have to load information on right before the election officials pick up their equipment, which is the Monday night before an election. And we use the elevator. We use Conference Room West, which is our overflow room. We'll use the hallway. And we also use the elevator to carry things up and down. I think some of you might have noticed that at your November meeting, but we were using the elevator, you were using the elevator, the public was using the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to spread out. It's just for probably an hour or two. So I would ask the board consider at a later meeting either changing the time of the meetings on these two dates, changing the date, or changing the location. We do have portable recording devices. As the auditor, we're responsible for recording the board's minutes as well as when they act as the drainage trustees. I also have access to a projector, which can be used to hook up a laptop to do things like showing things here. So I know you don't always know what your agenda is going to be until maybe a week or two before the actual meeting is set. Sometimes you don't meet if you don't have an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to give to you the three-year election calendar. And I'm also happy to provide this to you on a regular basis if that helps. I don't want your meeting to be confused with our need to use the space and cause delays either for you or for my election officials. So
the dates again, Lucy, are June 2nd and November 3rd.
Yes.
Okay.
So thank you for any questions for me.
If we change time, what time would work?
Well, I think maybe 7:30, but that might be a bit late for you or for the public. we try to get, we'll at least be done with this floor by then. We might still have people downstairs.
Okay.
And then we also have the electric officials come in, they pull the front of the building and we load the equipment, so it might be harder for public to get into the building. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay. We won't act on that tonight, but we'll have it at the end of the meeting. We'll come back and at least make sure we get it on to another. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else on public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public comment section and move on. We have no old business, so we'll move right into new business, and with that, the new business, first one is RE204, the 13, the Cameron Farms rezoning. And Charlie, you're going to present that to us. By the way, the way we'll work this is we'll have a staff presentation, and then we'll have the applicant come up and give a presentation, and then we'll have room for public comment, at which time we'll ask you to come up and give your name and address and what you have to say.
Good evening. As you mentioned, this is the Cameron Farms official zoning map amendment request, the property owner being Cameron Farms LLC. Looking at the property location, you're looking at about 68 acres of land, which is located north of Cameron School Road, east of 505th Avenue, and south of West 190th Street. And I've got a map up here in a little bit. I'll kind of give you a better idea of where we're at. Size of this amendment area, you're looking at, again, about 60 acres, about 65 and a half net acres, and 8 acres does take out the right-of-way, which is on the north, south, and west sides of the property. Current zoning of the property is A1 agriculture. The current land use is classified as an agriculture use, as currently it is in row crop production. Looking at the land use framework map, it is governed by the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. That plan does designate this property as a rural residential, which is a subcategory of the rural service and ag conservation areas. The key here is that area is kind of the Tier 3 development of the Fringe Plan, so the city does not anticipate, the city of Ames, I should say, does not anticipate growing into this area anytime in the near future. And then it also does contain some natural areas. This map up here is the surrounding property owner map that was sent out to all the surrounding property owners. The area in the hatched screen here is the area under consideration. Hickory Hill subdivision, located just to the east here. You got Cameron School Road, 505th and West 190th Street, bordering the property as well. The proposal is to go from the A1 zoning district to the AR, agricultural residential zoning district. This is in an effort to create a new subdivision, which current plans show roughly about 50 lots right now. This area is currently served by those three existing public streets. Cameron School Road, which has an average daily traffic load of about a little over 2,000 vehicles, and then 505th and West 190th, which are both at 80 vehicles per day. The area is also served by Midland Power, Xenia Rural Water, and is serviced by the West Story Fire Department out of Gilbert. Getting straight into the requirements for rezoning, these are the five criteria that the commission and then ultimately the board of supervisors do look at when approving or denying a rezoning request. I won't go over them. I'm sure the commission's well to date on them, but they're on the screen here above. First of all, getting into the conformance with the county development plan, this map up here does show the Ames River Fringe Plan designations. You can see the 2-mile limit of the city of Ames kind of roughly right in this area. As the plan doesn't extend further than that. This tannish area here is the rural residential classification on the fringe plan. This green area, boundary here, is all agricultural conservation area. This darker green area here is all the natural areas, and then these are all residential areas, rural transitional residential areas. So you can see kind of with the Oak subdivision right down here, or not the Oak subdivision, Hickory Hill subdivision, right here, all in that rural residential, and then kind of this area would almost just be an extension of that subdivision up through the proposed rezoning area outlined in green. and the Rural Service and Ag Conservation Areas. Those are intended to be rural and agricultural in use and character throughout the life of the Ann Driven Fringe Plan. It should be protected from development that would damage the rural character of Prairie County. It is not intended for urban scale growth. Inappropriate development would include both residential and non-residential development that is not characteristic of the countryside or a rural community. Residential land uses within the rural residential designated areas are developed at a rural density and in areas where urban infrastructure may not be in place for a time period beyond the life of the Ann Driven Fringe Plan. The rural residential designation also recognizes a residential market segment seeking large lots in a rural setting, benefiting from agricultural activities on a small scale. Looking at the statement of intent of the AR zoning district, it does state that it is designed to provide for a low-density, single-family, detached dwellings with limited activities interrelated with agricultural uses. Community facilities and open space uses that serve the residents may also be included in the layout of subdivisions within this district with special provisions to protect the rural residential character of the district. Furthermore, this district is not intended to permit isolated rural dwellings incompatible with surrounding land uses and not in conformance with the county development plan. Looking at just kind of what the land use classifications currently are out in this area, I believe actually this is a zoning map. I never changed that. Okay, yeah, this is a zoning map right here. I apologize. Current zoning right here, the AR zoning district in this brown area, and then the R1 residential district in the yellow area here. So you can kind of see the residential subdivisions out in this area. And again, here is the land that's being requested to be rezoned. Next one actually is the land use classifications. The yellow being all the residential land uses. You can kind of see this light green. Those are all the agricultural farmsteads in the area. And then everything else with no color is just agriculture. So again, you can see a lot of residential uses taking place out in this area. And this would kind of be on the fringe of a majority of those uses around Cameron School Road. Kind of going out, looking at this amendment area, it is located, again, on the edge of a very dense rural residential area, four-story county. It is surrounded by agricultural crop production on its west, north, and south sides, and the Hickory Hill subdivision on its east side. Looking at current land uses within 1 mile of the site, you can see about 52% of the land is used for agriculture, about 20% for residential, and the rest for agricultural farmsteads and commercial. But when you actually look at the parcel-by-parcel breakdown, you can see about 80% of the parcels in the area are used for residential. The amendment area does include some land designated as natural areas on the fringe plan. That area is primarily contained to the northeast portion of the parcel around that vegetated area that's there. It does not exceed 50% of this total amendment area. The area is located wholly in the Squaw Creek watershed, and there is no floodplain located on the property. Looking at the LISA scores, the two LISA scores did come in under those thresholds that are required, so there is no problem with that particular standard of approval. Looking at notification letters, those were mailed out on November 25th, and then the legal notifications were published in the paper on November 28th regarding this meeting, and the proposal did undergo the usual interagency review, but there was no comments of significance from that review team. Looking at conditions that typically are placed on rezonings, this is just out of the Story County Code of Ordinances. Staff is not recommending any conditions be tied to this particular rezoning. We just wanted to include this on the screen here above so you know that if the board, or excuse me, if the commission does want to put conditions on the rezoning, you're more than welcome to do so. With that, your four conditions are listed here on the screen above, and if you have any questions of me, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
What questions do we have, commissioners?
There is some area where they couldn't be built, be building on because it's on some like trees or.
And I'll show you here. You can kind of see just on this finger that comes into the land right here. That's the area that with the subdivision plan once we see it. We'll be looking at preservation of that area. And every plan that we've seen preliminarily so far from the applicant has shown that they are preserving that area. So
probably kind of a ditch with some
trees. Yeah, and if when you look at actually the elevations on the ground, this particular piece of ground for the most part is pretty flat until you get to that little area right there. It does slope quite a bit.
But I see several people here that I think are probably Hickory Hills people. Any concerns about runoffs and stuff like that as far as...
The few plans that we've seen show kind of some like drainage ways that kind of lead through these areas right here. So for the most part, they're going to come down and the property does kind of slope into this area down here, which is kind of away from where all these houses are. But if you look at, and I should have probably included that, but for the most part, if you look at the elevations, they all kind of go down into this area right here and then down into Squaw Creek, which is right here. So I wouldn't think there'd be too many concerns with runoff onto those properties.
Other questions?
Right now there's a proposal that could be up to 50.
Yeah, what they're kind of showing is around 50. Again, the property in total nets about 65 acres. Once you start taking out the open space requirement and the road right away and stuff like that, you're looking somewhere between probably 40 and 50, I would say, is about all you can net out with those 1 acre minimum lot sizes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And that brings up something I had, as I was reading through, it seemed like in one place I thought it said a minimum of 1 acre lots, and then I thought I also saw a maximum of 1 acre lot. So which?
It's a minimum of 1 acre on that, yeah. Because the AIM-driven fringe plan says that densities have to be at least one unit per acre, and then the AR zoning district also says 1 acre minimum. So.
How about the LISA scores? When are those established?
We had not had any LISA scores done on this property, so as part of the review and writing the staff report, I did those. So those were probably done about a week ago on this property. And I think it was I'm trying to think of the numbers on here, how they line up, but the one was pretty close to the threshold, and the other one was way under, and that had more to do just with, actually it was, I think, the northernmost one up here, because these are two parcels right here, the dividing line kind of right there, it goes straight over from here. This one was somewhat high just because it didn't have the surrounding adjacent uses of the Hickory Hills subdivision taking the score down. That's why this one went way down, because there's so many residential adjacent uses taking place there. So, but they were both under the threshold. It was just that one was a little bit closer than the other. So.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. With that, I see we've got the applicants here. Would you like to step forward and just present your case? Give your name and address and tell us what you're up to here.
Ooh.
Overhead, do we have those anymore?
Have one.
Maybe I'm just lagging behind. Hi, my name's Kurt Friedrich, and I'm part of the developer group, representing the developer group. And I live in Ames, 3414 Honeysuckle Road. Thanks for having me here tonight to talk about our rezoning request. Charlie's done a nice job of outlining our plans in terms of rezoning. And I did bring, for everyone's benefit, a copy of the most current concept plan that we've been working on in concert with staff. We've had several meetings already with staff, and as Charlie had mentioned, we do meet all of the applicable regulations and requirements for AR, the agriculture residential zoning, And it's consistent with the City of Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which was one of the primary reasons why we were interested in the property in the first place. It's one of the only properties in the county close to Ames that is designated rural residential. And as Charlie mentioned, it requires a minimum lot size of 1 acre, which is not possible for us to create in Ames. In Ames, the urban density requirement, as Daryl knows, is 3.75 housing units per acre in any urban services area. And so that makes this property quite unique in that it does, in fact, allow and mandate larger lot development. The properties that are nearby where we're hoping to develop are also developed in a consistent manner with the way that we're planning to develop. The most recent subdivision in the area with the same zoning of AR would be the Cameron Pines subdivision there on the south side of Cameron School Road, where they have a minimum lot size of 1 acre. The lots immediately adjacent to us to the east in Hickory Hills actually are smaller. It has an R1 zoning designation. So the lots that we are proposing for this particular subdivision, which we are right now terming Cameron Estates, would be larger by requirement than what exists in Hickory Hills. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Charlie, but I believe the only portion of our adjacent property that would be rural residential is Mr. O'Rourke's property there at the south end.
Yeah, if you look at the area, it's pretty much the Oak Lane right here and all that area to the south right there. Everything else is kind of in a natural area.
Right. So, typically, we don't, until the time of the preliminary plat, bring out the concept plan, but I guess we've been working hard at it, and I just thought it might help alleviate some of the potential questions and concerns to bring it out as early as possible. I have reached out to the neighborhood there at Hickory Hills, and I've talked to Steve Excel. I believe Steve's the president of the association. Had some emails with Steve and had offered to have a neighborhood meeting here as soon as everyone would like. Steve had invited me to the executive committee meeting, which is being held here on the 10th of this month. So I'll be meeting with the executive committee of Hickory Hills to in more detail review the plan here that I'm circulating and answer any questions. And then if a association-wide meeting were desired, we're more than happy to do that. I was told that the association didn't have its annual meeting until, I think, February. So if one were desired prior to that, we can certainly do that. We had planned to get on the schedule here for platting in January to bring the platting and the zoning along together at that time. But again, we're open to having any kinds of meetings that would be beneficial. On that plan, and I've distributed all my copies, so I'm going to speak here somewhat from memory on this, but you can see we've tried to follow the natural contours of the property as best we can. We're trying to not do a lot of grading on the property and work our development within the confines of the property as much as possible and respect the topography of the property. We've got at least 10 acres of conserved open green space, and much of it, Mr. Struthers, does center on that natural area that's identified there in the northeast corner of the property. So we in no way intend to develop that, but to keep that as permanent green space. And then you might notice, too, we've created a strip of green space all along the east boundary of the property. So there's a nice buffer, actually, where we enter the subdivision off of Cameron School Road. At that point, between the east edge of the lots on the east side of our entry lane, there's about a 200-foot gap between Hickory Hills and the rear property line of the nearest lot. And it narrows down to about 50 feet. So there's still a nice 50-foot green space in between Hickory Hills and the eastern lot lines as it narrows down. And that's as narrow as it gets. I can't think of the property owner's name, Charlie, but there's a property owner to our east on the north, east of the north 30 acres that we have. At this time, we are not planning on developing that property. We've not had any conversation with that owner. I've tried to reach out to her, have left a couple of messages to discuss our plans and so forth, but have not had any response. Again, would be very interested in speaking with her and sharing with her our plans. Again, in terms of density, we're seeking the absolute lowest possible residential density that is permitted in this area, and we think that that is the best stewardship of the property and most consistent with the development around us. So I think that summarizes what we're planning to do. Does anyone have any questions for me?
Commissioners? Go ahead.
505th Avenue is a gravel road,
right?
Correct.
Right.
And you would expect it to continue to be a gravel road?
You know, at some point, and this has come up in our discussions, it's really an issue of, I think long term, it probably should be paved. 505 should have some type of hard surface to it. Not 190th Street at the north end, but I would think it may be beneficial to see 505th be paved at some point in the future. And I guess the timing for that and the funding of that, I'm not sure how that should play out. But we've had some preliminary conversations about that.
I see the we've got some outlots here, outlot A, B, and C. On the east edge, that's not an outlot. It's just a buffer zone that you've got planned there, right?
I'm sorry, I don't have the the plan with me right now. Maybe I could grab one back.
So the outlots, and maybe Charlie, you can help on this too, but are those really protective for the natural areas then, A, B, and C?
There is a requirement for, we have a requirement that states that anytime you have over 10 lots in a subdivision that you have to dedicate 15% open space. So it's probably in part to meeting that, but at the same time meeting that in a logical way and taking out those natural areas. And
Those green areas do follow the natural topography. Those are natural drainage ways, if you will, that we have recognized on the property. And again, we don't want to disrupt those natural drainage paths. So we've tried to, as much as we can, work within the topography that we have and preserve that. I would also add, too, that in addition to these being natural drainage areas, they do have steeper slopes as well. So they're not as easily used from a construction standpoint in that regard as well. So there's multiple reasons.
Okay. Thank you. Other questions from the commissioners? Okay, thanks. And I'm going to bet you might be back up there again. So. Okay, at this time, it's we have a portion in here for public comment. So if you'd care to comment on the actions that are being proposed here, step to the microphone, give your name and address, and what you have to say.
Good evening. My name is Rex Grossen, and I live at 5602 Hickory Hills Drive. And I'm wondering, can you pull up the photo with the red lines with the brick down there? Perfect. I guess my only concern is my lot is on the west side of Hickory Hills Drive, basically where the two L's are in Hills. And my only concern is just water runoff. Right now, there is a tiling coming off the field. It goes underground underneath Hickory Hills Drive and then comes above ground right where my lot is, between my lot and Bobby Douglas's lot. And so that water then, from being underground, then flows overground until it gets to my driveway, and then we've got a little bit of a drain there, and then it goes underneath the driveway, then into the creek, and then along the rest of the watershed there. And when there's a significant gully washer, I mean, my drains can't handle that. And so obviously the only concern I have is with the development, I guess, what do you have for retention ponds? Is that going to increase the outflow, you know, from new development, you know, onto my property? That's the main question, concern I would have.
Okay.
Thank you.
Would you like to come back up and address that? Can you? Or Charlie, you may be able to, too, as far as from a development standpoint.
Well, and I don't know what the development's necessarily going to include to take that in. And the only thing I can mention is when I, again, looked at the topography lines, it seemed like everything kind of drained down into those gullies there. But, again, with the tiling issue, there could be other things that pop up that I'm not aware of either. So.
Yep, that sure is.
Rex, I think the best way to answer that is that as we get into full-scale design on the project, that we'll have to address those concerns as best we can to mitigate any potential runoff concerns. We do, in the plan, we are making allowance here with the green spaces located where they are, where we would have some areas where we could potentially do some additional grading that may be of benefit to you and may actually improve the situation from what currently exists.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, I'm Joanne Glazer Weiss. I live at 5521 Hickory Hills. My property would actually border on the proposed new development. So my questions are this. I'm kind of new to Story County. When I moved in 4 years ago, the land was completely, we were happy we were living next to a cornfield, and now, lo and behold, it's going to be developed, which I guess is the wave of the future. Nevertheless, I'm puzzled at how come the land was bought for development and now you're asking for rezoning or zoning. It seems to me it would be zoned prior to the land actually being purchased and then you have the proposal. So that's one puzzle to me. The other is, what is agricultural residential? What does that mean? Are you also having farm right next to a house? What exactly does that terminology mean? I'm not familiar with the urban fringe plan of Ames. Does the city of Ames actually have a plan where they say you can, we're on the outskirts of Ames and then this is added development to the land? So I'm puzzled by all of these things, and I'm curious to know if the story, if your board doesn't approve the rezoning, what happens next? You know, the land is bought, the land is sold, the proposal is in place. What happens if the board doesn't approve it, and are you the only people to approve it?
Okay.
And anything else you care to add is fine.
Okay, I think I can answer the last one, and then I'll ask for some assistance on the other ones here. So on the last one, you said, what if we are a recommending commission? So we're going to make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors at a future meeting, which I'm not sure what the date is, will make that determination then. So we're here to listen to both sides and everything and then make a recommendation, and then the Board of Supervisors will do that. So does that answer your last question? Okay. The first question, and I'm going to ask, can you talk about that from a developer standpoint? What comes first, the chicken or the egg, or the land or the rezoning?
Each case is unique in that regard in terms of when the rezoning takes place. And what governed this situation was the property owners were interested in selling the farm at auction. And there could be no conditions of the sale. So that includes zoning and the like in order to prepare a property for development. So again, when this property was auctioned off by Farmers National Company, the buyers were not given the opportunity to say as a condition of my purchase or my offer, I must have the property rezoned. So we had to buy it, and in advance of purchasing it, we tried to do our homework because our best we could, and make the best possible decision based on current information. So we had discussion with staff and what the land use plan that is in place would allow us to do. And so we studied the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. I don't know if we have a copy of that, Charlie. But again, the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, which does govern the development in this area, identifies this property and has identified this property for some time as rural residential. So it has been planned in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan for this type of development. So it would really be strange, quite frankly, for the supervisors not to follow their plan, the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. So, which again calls for this type of development. But that is, I guess, why we did not have the property rezoned before. We weren't given that opportunity to do that. We bought it knowing that more than likely we would be permitted to create this type of subdivision based on the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. That's right.
Okay, thank you. And I'm going to ask for staff assistance on the next two questions. And that was, you had asked about, Ms. Weiss, about rural residential, what that means, and then also the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, what that entails. So.
First, I'll start on the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. That was a plan that we started working on, I want to say, back in about 1998. And I'm looking at Leanne because I know she was there around that time, but I think it was about that time. Finally was adopted in 2005. It's a joint land use plan between Story County, the city of Gilbert, and the city of Ames. There was kind of going back on the history, there was just some concern with that area between Gilbert and Ames and how it was going to develop in the future, and the state of Iowa and most states in the United States give extraterritorial subdivision review to cities. So the city of Ames has a 2-mile jurisdiction on their city in which they're allowed to review subdivision requests mainly. So when they do annex land, that land, the subdivisions are up to par and they don't have to put a lot of capital into bringing it up to city standards. So in that plan, there's what I like to call 3 tiers of development. There's the urban service area, and those are the areas in which the city of Ames says for sure that, well, not for sure, but when they implemented the plan, the thought was the urban service areas are the areas within the life of the plan that they will annex into. Then you have the transitional residential areas after that, and those are the areas that they're probably eventually going to annex into someday, but just not necessarily within the life of the plan. And then you have the rural residential areas that they're allowing, in this case, to be developed residentially, but the city of Ames is more or less saying that current policy says that they will never grow into those areas. So that's kind of what the Ames Urban Fringe Plan says. As far as the zoning districts go, then you have zoning on top of that. You have Story County, for example, has the AR, Agricultural Residential District. We have the R1, now Transitional Residential District, and you're now going to see why we changed these names. And then you have the R2, Urban Residential District. The AR district is what they're proposing here. That requires 1 acre minimum lot sizes. The R1, the transitional residential, requires 25,000 square foot minimum lot sizes, which is just a tad over a half acre. And then the R2 requires 8,000 square foot minimum lot sizes. On top of that, the R2 also requires that you don't use septic systems, that you actually have a package treatment center in there. So kind of a community system is what we typically call those. But kind of shows you that as you grow outside of the city, you've got really small lot sizes progressively go into larger lot sizes that you get outside the city. So I don't know if that kind of explains what the goal of the plan is, but yeah, again, when you look at this, there's that 2-mile area that I was talking about, the city of Ames, and that 2-mile area, you can just see where it ends right here on the plan, and then we take over up into the county line out in this area here. But again, you can kind of see where that 2-mile limit is, so you can kind of see how it grows out in that 2-mile limit, because you have these transitional residential districts down here and then the rural residential right there.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Please come forward.
My name is Phil Rudolph, and I live at 5615 Hickory Hills Drive. My lot will, I guess strictly speaking, not border on this development, because there is a slip, a rectangular piece of land right behind my property, which was alluded to, which belongs to the lady who's been trying to get hold of. And as long as you don't get hold of that property and she doesn't do anything, then I won't be buffering up against your property. But I still have questions, and several of them. That A and R classification, a question comes to mind. Would it be possible for any of those proposed 50 lot owners to have some kind of animals, like horses, on their property?
You want me to answer that as we go?
Well, I hope that answer can be forthcoming from somebody here tonight.
When we deal with county zoning, the state of Iowa has exempted all agricultural uses from any zoning regulations, so it's nearly impossible for us to regulate any use of livestock and so forth. What we typically will turn to, and what most developers will turn to at that point, because, again, people who live out in these areas when they're buying lots don't want it either. They'll turn to covenants, usually, to protect and make sure that those aren't out there. So I'd turn back to the developers at that point to see if they're proposing any covenants to restrict that or what they're planning on doing. But from a zoning standpoint, it is really hard for us to control that stuff.
I guess he's turning it over to you. Well, the question is regarding horses, perhaps, and restrictive covenants are only as good as the attorneys and so forth decide after battling. And I'm wondering just what your intention is in terms of can you put something in the ownership for these various 50 lots, presumably, where people could not have horses, for example, in their property? Or would you be willing to do that? Or
I step forward to the microphone. Might as well say after I'm guessing.
I would say our intent is to not have horses on these lots, on any of these lots. The lots, in my opinion, are not large enough for that type of use. And I think that just in fairness to the animal, you need to have more land set aside for grazing and so forth for horses. So it's never been our intent to create a neighborhood here where the owners of individual lots would have horses. And as Charlie mentioned, I think probably our first mechanism would be to outline in our covenants, in our restrictive covenants or protective covenants is what I like to call them, because I think they do protect the interests of the homeowners or the neighborhood. But to identify in the protective covenant that horses would not be permitted, or maybe other types of animals as well. And in addition to that, we would probably identify things like fencing that would be protected or restricted. A more strict measure, and we would need to seek our own legal counsel on this, is perhaps a deed restriction could be established to prevent the owner of the property from having horses. I'm not sure about the legalities of that, but that could be another mechanism that could be employed.
Would you allow me to ask another question?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Could you repeat your last name, please?
Rudolph.
Rudolph, okay. Thank you.
In reference to the size of lots in Hickory Hills, there's some lots that will be larger than this.
Some larger than an acre.
Yeah. Some are larger than an acre. Some are smaller than an acre. 0.7, 0.75, 0.7. And some that are more than an acre. And I bring it up because I thought you said that you're all larger than you are. They're not sufficient.
It is true. On average, all of our lots would be larger than the lots in Hickory Hills. Yes. They must be at least 1 acre in size. So all of our lots are at least 1 acre or exceed that number.
Can you step a little closer to the microphone when you're talking, please?
Access to a road or roads will be necessary. And I'm wondering what road or roads, which ones will have access to the subdivision, or which houses in the subdivision will have access to those? Will you be going out to Cameron School Road? Is that going to
you want this here?
Yeah. again, this is conceptual, but this is very close to what we anticipate being the plan that we bring forth for platting. We had thought that, and we had talked about this in our meetings with staff, but we had thought that our neighbors in Hickory Hills would prefer that we not utilize any of the road infrastructure in Hickory Hills. So we have looked to access our neighborhood separate from Hickory Hills so that we would not be adding any additional traffic to Hickory Hills. So we have a separate single entrance. It's more of a boulevard type, shown here in a little larger scale, but a boulevard entrance into the development off of Cameron School Road, and that's about 450 feet to the west of the property line of the Hickory Hill subdivision.
And you have access to this county road, too, it looks like.
Yes, this is a gravel road right now. And we're not planning on developing this all at once. And we typically, when we develop a subdivision, we develop in additions. And this most recent plan shows 47 lots. So what I'm envisioning is that we may have as many as four phases or additions to the development. So our first phase would come from here off of Cameron School Road and then go north like so and pick up approximately 12 to 15 lots. And then as sales go, then we would plat future additions within the subdivision. But we have to preliminary plat the entire development so people know what to expect in the subdivision. The only connection here, and we thought it would be beneficial to our neighbors here, is we've created a, and we can eliminate this, but we thought it might be beneficial to have pedestrian access between the subdivisions of Hickory Hill and Cameron Estates. So we've got at least planned in concept a pedestrian access here between lot 5 and lot 4, which would extend over to the east to Hickory Hill Drive. But that's to allow mutual pedestrian traffic, thinking that folks from Hickory Hills might like to walk over and walk through the development to the west and vice versa.
Okay. Thank you. Well, what about the septic system and the timeline for this development? Can you hear me up there?
Yep.
Okay. Are you going to have a community septic system or individual septic tank? What is what?
The plan is to serve each lot with its own private septic system. And in terms of the timing of the development, we're wanting to proceed through the entitlement approval process through rezoning and platting so that we have that completed here this winter and hopefully start first thing in the spring with our first phase.
Well, I think that takes care of all my questions. Thank you for doing that for you.
Thank you, Mr. Rule, for... Other comments from the public?
Hello, my name is Dean Gerard. I live at 4957 West 190th, just to the left of the W on 190th up there. I've been in the area for just 3 years there, and I've been in Story County for 18 now. And I'm not familiar with a lot of these expansions and developments. I just see rich people getting richer. I'm very opposed to this expansion personally, just because I spent the last 15 years saving every penny I had so I could have a nice, quiet, pristine place in the country. Now, my place will not have to look at this place, but I'm kind of surprised that some of my neighbors are not here who across the street will have to deal with the direct runoff right through their property. And some of that does affect my easement into my house with the hill that has a major incline there. My concern isn't really, it's not really about adding, I guess, houses. It's just, I don't believe that anyone that says that they can protect or they're going to do what's best for watershed runoff when they're developing something like this really has that at the top of their priority list. So it is a concern to me as far as the water has to go someplace. You have septic systems, which I'm glad to hear, I guess. But on the same token, when you put in an easement of this size with concrete and drainage and that sort of thing, the water does have to go someplace. Now, somebody mentioned collection ponds, and it was answered by that it could be a possibility. You know, there are no guarantees from us if this does get passed. Once it gets passed, as yes, you can develop here, then what's to stop it from being developed in a way that doesn't really consist with what is best for the area, naturally, or for residents that are concerned. I personally believe, and I can't speak on a lot of people because I definitely have a one-sided point of view, but that the Cameron Pines development is just, while it's nice because it's kind of up on the hill and they couldn't build down in the watershed, it's just monstrosity of huge houses and BMWs and light pollution, and it just really takes away from a beautiful area that I love to walk and with my dog and spend time with my family. And so I just want to voice my concern about it's just not my idea of, I don't know, good growth. I see the tax dollars, and it's good for Story County, and it's good for Gilbert School District to put more houses in. Personally, I just see it as taking the gravel road that I live on, which was currently stated at 80 cars per day, turning that into 180 cars per day. I would personally like to see the easement that goes on to 505th not part of the plan. I don't think that it's necessary for development to have two-way access onto a street that is currently just a throughway for three or four farmhouses. Like you said, eventually they would like to see that paved, and I believe that pavement is just the beginning of continuing on paving 190th and then doing expansion work and drainage and culverts and that sort of thing, which would then affect the few property owners that do live on 190th. You know, like I said, it's just it's not my ideal growth opportunity for Ames. I do just see people with extra dollars that can then make a lot more, and that's kind of what I see this as, is not a natural growth of the city. I see it as a few people that had extra money to buy out this auction parcel and then develop it into lots so they can make more money, and then go ahead and do that someplace else. So, like I said, I'm just a very one-sided point of view because of how hard I work to have a nice quiet area and to be kind of on a gravel road. And development does happen, but I really just wanted to express my opinion of displeasure for this growth opportunity. And if it does go through, I would really like consideration of the easement onto 505th not part of the plan, because I don't see that it's really necessary other than to squeeze in two or three more lots for the development. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Gerard. I do have a question for you before you sit down.
Sure.
You said your address was what?
4957 West 190th.
So are you down at the bottom of the hill?
I'm actually in the middle of the hill.
On the north side of the road?
Yes.
Okay.
It's 1 acre.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Last chance. Okay. Microphone, Mr. Rudolph.
One more question. I'm sorry, water. Where do you get water for the homes? Will it be through Virginia? Through wells? And they already have, I think they're having some problems financially. And maybe that would help them if they get some more companies into the water. I don't know. But they've already agreed to that rather than we haven't put down wells or anything like that.
Xenia, it's true. Xenia Rural Water has been in some financial difficulty of late. I think it's been pretty well publicized. My understanding is that they've restructured their debt facility with the USDA and Assured Guarantee, and they have identified certain areas which are growth areas for their territory. Basically, Xenia controls all of the potential service territory to the north and west and south of Ames. They also have and control service territories north and west and south of Ankeny and around Waukee as well. And so these are areas that are important future revenue locations for Xenia Rural Water. So they do intend and desire to serve this particular area.
Thank you, both of you. Okay, with that, I'm going to close the public comment section of this. Commissioners, any other questions of staff or anybody who would like to make a motion?
Before we get to the motion, I do have a observation and a question. I noticed that there was no comment from the county engineer concerning this rezoning, and which would have been a good opportunity for Mr. Moon to address the issues of 505 and 190th. So would his comments be more would be expected when you get closer to the platting and you actually show impact on the roads as opposed to in the planning process?
In the perfect world, I think we would have got them now too, but through the preliminary meetings that we've had regarding this, Mr. Moon's been involved in all those meetings. Through discussions we've had of possibly paving roads and whatnot, he's been involved in all those as well. I know he's well aware of the current plan and all that and the access in. So as far as I know, there wasn't much of a concern. Some of the original plans that we were looking at, there was some concern about the length between driveways along 505th. An original plan showed some houses that were taking frontage, or some lots, I should say, that were taking frontage off 505th, and the county has a requirement that driveways need to be spaced 300 feet. Well, these lots were too, they weren't that wide, so that 300 feet spacing wasn't necessary to meet, and there was some talk about possibly waiving that requirement, and that more or less went away just because we make an exception here, and then we have to start making exceptions everywhere. So, like I said, he's been very involved in it. As far as the paving, if you've been out there, the way that 505th and West 190th, when you look at this right away right here on the screen or above me, it almost makes it look like it's an L intersection, but it's really not. It actually has a curve to it in various reasons. So he's done a lot of research trying to figure out when that curve was in place. You can almost see it here on the screen. For example, there's
and get this to come up. There we go. The curve almost, you can see it kind of goes outside of the right-of-way. There's that little black speck right there, and that actually shows the curve. So, like I said, Darren has been looking into a lot of those issues to try to figure out exactly the history of that and ultimately kind of how we want to see that road alignment come in, too. So, I would imagine you'll have a lot more comments from him when the subdivision comes in, when they're actually are showing plans, when they're showing the ditches, when they're showing the width of the road, the pavement thickness, and all that stuff. He's going to be more involved in it at that point.
The generally the roads in this type of development are not curb and gutter.
Yeah, this one and everything that I've it wouldn't be curb and gutter. It'd probably be a rural cross section. So you remember Bella Woods was curb and gutter, but that was because the City of Ames required it because the City of Ames has interest in that Bella Woods area, which again just is about 3/4 mile down the road. But in this area, they don't plan on annexing it, so there's no need for curb and gutter.
I have no more questions.
Other questions? Okay, comment.
Well, we in Story County are fortunate that we have public oversight of government regulation, and we as commissioners are citizens of this county and have our own personal opinions and feelings, and my feelings on this project are fairly strong. I drove by this last weekend. This is a prime piece of Iowa farm ground. It's fairly flat. It has little to no trees on it, and it's a productive piece of Iowa farm ground, something that I feel very important that we protect. In our applicable regulations, we say the proposed rezoning shall protect environmental resources. What is more important in Story County than prime farm ground? Urban sprawl is a problem, and we keep saying yes, but, yes, but. Well, there are a lot of places to build homes that are in highly erodible ground, ground that isn't suitable for farming, lots of wooded areas. This isn't one of them. There's only so much arable land. Do you realize the state of Iowa produces more food than the entire country of Canada? If you take Mother Earth and it's an apple, arable land is a tiny sliver of that apple, barely worth a bite in your mouth. That's what we have left to feed 7 billion people. They predict 9 billion in what I consider my lifetime. I don't want to give up any more prime Iowa farm ground to build houses. I feel pretty strong about that. I'll not be voting for this tonight.
Thank you.
There are no more questions. I'm ready for a motion.
Okay.
So that we can get to the discussion of a motion, I'd like to move the option one, the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the official zoning map amendment as put forth in case REZ0413 to the Story County Board of Supervisors. We've had years of planning. We have an adopted plan. The rezoning request is consistent.
Can we just keep the motion here? Is there a second to the motion?
I would second that.
Okay, motion has been moved and seconded. Discussion. Now you can continue on if you'd like, Stephen.
I got far enough.
Okay.
I'd make a comment. I have real mixed feelings on it, too. On one side, as a person who makes his living from the land, I feel, as does Nancy, you know, that we only have so much good soil. On the other hand, I believe in some freedoms and some rights of property owners. One plus in my mind for this is that it's located near other housing. We're not trying to do this 2 miles, 3 miles from any other similar type locations. There is a paved road along the south side, and you know, I mixed on it, but when I look at the way I interpret the rules that we have to follow, I would support allowing this because of some of those reasons of the location and the other residences in the area.
I'm going to take this opportunity here before I throw my two cents in on this too. Mr. Rorson, Ms. Weiss, Mr. Gerard, and Mr. Rudolph, thank you all for getting up and saying your piece, and thank you all for being here. It's nice not to be talking to an empty room, so it's great to have you here and hear your opinions. Right now, this commission is one person short, and after tonight, Mr. Gast and myself will be ending our term. So if you don't have anything to do on the first Monday night of the month, you might consider, if this interests you, you might consider doing something like this. It's very educational, and you get to, I don't know, it's just a good thing, so you might think about that. Having said that, I have to side with David here. When I first went out and saw that piece of land, or when I first read about it, I said, boy, prime farmland. But I'm with it. It's a planned development. I think it's along that paved road. I think it's along the Hickory Hills area. If it was standing out there by itself, all by itself, I couldn't vote for it. So, but I will vote yes on this. Do you mean?
I absolutely agree with what Nancy said. But I don't exactly know what our limits are. It's my understanding that if this meets the zoning requirements, the current zoning requirements, which it does, and if they have done all the things they're required to do, we really don't have the opportunity at this point to say no. Am I correct?
Ooh, I don't know. Can I look the staff for this a little bit?
My opinion would be, I think you've got those five standards of approval. I mean, right there, actually, that you can look on. You know, I think you can make arguments probably either way on just about all of them. You know, conformance to the county development plan. Yeah, this does fit in with the county development plan. You know, I'm just trying to look through some of them. You know, number five, for example, we've proven that definitely it does meet that requirement. Number four, you could look at it in many different ways, you know, with the natural areas and stuff like that. You know, number three, the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. That's open to interpretation. A lot of these, I think, requirements are open to interpretation from the commission members, and that's how you formulate your recommendation to the board. You know, whatever way it does go, it's also something that, you know, the decision of the board is somewhat final, as they can be challenged in court if anybody disagrees with the decision. So, you know, there's a vetting process throughout the entire rezoning process here, and like I said, a lot of these particular requirements, you could probably make arguments from on both sides, and I think from staff standpoint, you know, we would probably not disagree with any of the arguments, but...
Yeah, from my perspective, we spend a lot of time on the long-range plan, and in the long-range plan, we identify areas where that will develop and areas that we are going to preserve, because we don't need to have the entire county in a development zone. And so we hold hearings, we publish that plan, and then we do that so that people who own land can then rely upon that plan and either decide to develop or not develop. And for me, that number one is in the right place, is a development consistent, is a request consistent with the plan. And if it's not, my vote will never be yes. And then based upon the input from the public, listening for concerns on 2 through 5, to see whether or not it's a good idea or not. Can we say no? Yes, we can say no, with cause. But we are a recommending body, and the Board of Supervisors makes the final decision.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Alger?
No.
Gast?
Yes.
Beggy?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Feather?
Yes.
And the motion passes, and this will go to the Board of Supervisors. Is there a date on this? When it will be the Board of Supervisors?
A little better schedules with the holidays, but my assumption would be that it would probably get on their agenda sometime mid-January at the soonest. But we'll have a resolution to set the public hearing date, and the public hearing date will be published in the paper. And again, the people who were notified about this meeting tonight will be re-notified about the Board of Supervisors meeting. So,
okay. So thank you all for being here. You're welcome to stay for the next action, or you can leave now. If you leave, just kind of move out so we can continue on. Again, thanks for being here. And with that, we'll move on to the second item in new business, which is SUB 11-13, the Lee Minor Subdivision Plat.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I will do my best to keep it concise. This is the Lee Subdivision, also known as SUB 11 of 2013, under the ownership of Virginia Lee Revocable Trust. And Virginia Lee is the applicant this evening as well. Size of parcel, 38.6 gross acres. The eastern third of the property is zoned commercial, and the west is A1 agricultural. The commercial zoning is why we're here tonight. The applicant's request is for a minor subdivision to create two lots, not for development purposes. And normally this would be considered an agricultural subdivision because it's not for development purposes. It's essentially just splitting off the farmstead from the farm ground. The land development regulations require, in cases where there's commercial zoning, it requires it to be processed as a minor subdivision, which then goes to you. Agricultural subdivisions just go straight to the board. So here we have the surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all surrounding property owners within a quarter mile. You can see the big, essentially a quarter section there in red is the lead subdivision. Parcel F was platted off a few months ago. And now they're going through with the rest of the subdivision. If you're not familiar with this area, that's where the old Midvale antique store is, that area there. Just north of Huxley. Looking at the analysis, we found that this subdivision meets all of the criteria. In addition, all the items that require to be placed on the face of the plat are indicated, and all subdivision requirements and submittal materials have been satisfied. The county recorder requires at the time of recordation either a waiver or a resolution from a town within 2 miles, in this case, the city of Huxley. We haven't received that, but that's the recorder's requirement. We haven't received any comments from the public or any interagency review for this. Considering they haven't come forth with that resolution, though, we typically just require that as a standard of approval at the time of when the board approves it. So we have that as a condition of approval. So with that, I'll leave you with the following four alternatives, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
We have questions of Ryan.
Basically, we just want to hear from Huxley.
Yeah.
Yes or no from them, thumbs up or thumbs down.
And I've already spoken with the City of Huxley planner, and they have no issues with it. I guess that's
they're having in writing.
Yeah. They have to go through the process.
The questions? Do we have an applicant here? Does anybody want to present the case? No? Okay. This is the time for public comment. If anybody'd like to come up and address us. Okay. Okay.
So this is basically just wanting to keep the commercial property commercial separate, and then the other part would be ag, or no? I'm.
Although all the where the development is on the property currently, it's all just farm buildings.
Right.
There just happens to be historically there was commercial zoning in that area.
Yeah, because
not commercial use
in the Vale Elevator.
Yeah, it's designated as ag dwelling for assessment purposes.
So that we know.
Yep, I mean, I would say almost a majority of our subdivisions are ag subdivisions that we do in a year. You just don't see them.
Okay. I think we've gone through all those things, so is there a motion?
I'd like to move number two with the condition that as stated.
Is there a second? Okay, seconded by Donaldson. We're open for discussion.
Thank everybody for letting me have a perfect record on motions tonight, being able to make them as a final meeting. I appreciate it.
Okay, no more discussion. Roll call, please.
Feathers?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Miller? Absent. Couser?
Yes.
Gast?
Yes.
Viggy?
Yes. And the motion carries. Thank you for being here. Okay, with that, we will go on to other business. Long range planning update. Oh, wait. Okay, we can do that. So we'll skip on over to 8B, election of 2014 commission officers.
Yes, they have.
So is this where I guess I'd like to make a motion that our co-chair, or what are you, vice chair?
Vice chair.
The vice chair. Move into the position of chair for 2014.
I would second that motion. And if and reason being is that number one, she conducts herself in a very professional manner in everything I've seen her involved in. Number two, she has a dedication and an attendance to this commission, whereas I have oftentimes conflicts that prevent me from being here as often as I would like to be, and that is not something that the chairperson should be able to have. So I'm not tying you any more than you have been, Nancy, but you have shown your commitment to this, and I think you would do well in that position.
Dave, thank you for saying that. I wasn't nominating you just because you're vice chair, but I think you do a nice job. All those in favor, do we do a roll call? Or just all those in favor?
All those in favor, but do you need to elect a vice chair then?
Okay. Anybody like to do that?
Susan, it'd be a good opportunity to learn how the meetings run. You can sit and listen and just...
Yeah, they have a form here. Yeah.
You'll have an opportunity to get all of that information and then just kind of follow through, and so that if you are called upon to hold a meeting, you'll just slip right in without any problems. Would you like to try it?
Reluctant, since this is only my third meeting.
Understandable.
On the other hand, I guess this is totally unexpected, but I volunteered for this because I wanted to be of service. So if I can be of service by doing that, and Nancy promises she won't get sick for a couple months.
I'll move then that Susan be vice chair.
Second. With that, we have a chair, a co-chair candidate, vice chair, and all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed? Okay. Good. Actually, I think you'll enjoy it, and when this is all done, I'm going to bequeath my book to you. This is my
one thing I'm noticing is that we were predominantly, if not almost all, male board when I came on, and depending on who is set up to replace you guys, so we've got three ladies and myself, so I'm going from the majority to a minority. Not that it's a bad thing, because you know, if you have reasonable women, if there is such a thing, it's not a problem.
Did you say that in public?
That doesn't have to be on the record, does it?
Oh, it was all in jest. Yeah.
Okay. With that, can we go on to other business? Long-range planning.
The Board of Adjustment met after your last meeting and approved all the wind farm applications with the exception of Optimum Wind 2. That was the one in between here and Ames.
That flicker.
With the flicker. That was tabled, and they will consider that this coming Wednesday. I believe that... They wanted some additional information on that. There were some questions on the access, if you'll recall, off the dirt road. The county engineer just brought forward possible discussion on vacating the road to the Board of Supervisors last Tuesday. They wanted to have that dialogue be finished before they made a decision. It now turns out that the applicant is actually not taking access off that road. They're going to take access from 250 up to the south and go up north. It's quite a long driveway. So it's kind of a moot point, but yeah, the shallow flicker and some additional questions raised by the public, the board wanted some time to get additional information.
Yeah.
I just got back from California, and they had a beautiful wind farm out there in Palm Springs, but it was at the base of a mountain in a very remote area where there was no housing. And I thought, oh, I wish we had some place like that, that, you know, you could put it off to the side where it's usable but doesn't have to be so visible. I'm just having more and more problem with changing our landscape so consistently.
I'm hearing that a lot from different individuals, that the landscape has changed significantly. The only other long-range planning update item I have is the Board of Supervisors directed staff to place the capital improvements plan, our first CIP for Story County, online for public review. It's, you go under Board of Supervisors to capital improvements plan. and it's out there. There's a comment sheet you can download and send back to me. We're asking that all comments do come to me through January 3rd at 5 o'clock. And then the board will receive the public comments that have been received on Monday, January 6th. But they will not take action on the CIP until probably February or early March. And that's all I have on those items. I kind of combine the two together.
With that, as long as you're up, we did have a request that came from Lucy about meeting times. How would you propose to handle that?
It's interesting. 15 odd years ago, during the summer months, the commission always met at 7:30 in the evening. And then we switched during when daylight savings time to 7 o'clock came. Might have been even later. No, we switched to 6:30 and then we're at 7:30. We abandoned that years ago. 7:30 does make for an awfully long evening,
mm-hmm.
especially for your staff who will have worked all day. I mean, you guys have too, but we generally try to just stay around rather than leave and come back.
Mm-hmm. But it's not unusual for county planning and zoning commissions to meet 7:30 in the area around here. That's a very common time.
It is. Most city councils do it 6:30 or 7. It's not an unusual time. And it's doable since it's only two times next year. If you want to look at just changing the date too, we can push it back a week.
Well, one problem of pushing it back a week is then that would also affect the Board of Adjustment, wouldn't it? Or does
no,
the things
they're
that,
always a month behind.
They're always a month behind.
Yeah.
Okay. And then if you move it back a week, does it create problems for staff to get things ready for the Board of Adjustment?
No. Okay. Deadline, as you know from adopting a calendar for both the Board of Adjustment and Planning and Zoning Commission is generally the 13th of each month. So this would be, if we push it back a week, would be in advance of that deadline too. So we're in that mode of preparing for the next month's agenda.
I think it might be good for you to talk about it as staff, what works out well, and come back at the next meeting and propose either a week later or an hour or two later, whatever works out.
I know for me personally, especially in the June one, the later time would be fine since, you know, we're daylight till, you know, 9 o'clock that time of year anyway. And November for me is a crapshoot anyway, harvest and such.
You might be in more trouble by that too, with more comments you make.
I know. I may have to resign.
Don't say that.
I was offered a bigger job today as to be president-elect of the Iowa Pork Producers Association, which would start in January, which would confine me to more meetings, and then in the year 2015 I would be president, and even more so time away from home. So it's, I have accepted that nomination. Now whether the board votes me in, most likely they will, but we'll see.
Congratulations. Just like these two young ladies over on my right here. Anything else? Okay, then with that, we have commission comments. And Susan, you want to start? Anything? Okay, Nancy? I guess, David?
I would just revisit the first with the Cameron Farms. Like I expressed earlier, I really have mixed feelings on that. I hate to see, you know, it sickens me to go to Ankeny and see all this wonderful soil, having a house that could be put on poor soil somewhere that's less, you know, able to produce something for a living or for, you know, for food. In this case, you know, because of the location close to Hickory Hills and the others, I felt it, you know, it's not such a question in my mind. But it was nice to have that much input. I am getting home later, and I told my wife I probably would, but that's good. I mean, people are here to say something. That's what this is all about. And I apologize to all women everywhere.
Stephen?
It certainly expresses the importance of focusing on the plans and spending the time to put them together thoughtfully, publishing them, and then following them. And yes, it's perfectly good farm ground that will be taken out of production.
I think the thing that I thought for myself coming on this board is that I am definitely come from farm reps, and I agree with everything Nancy said. But I think we have to balance that with economic growth for the state and for the county. And I think that's what those boards that do that long-range planning have to do.
This board.
Yes, this board. That's correct. And so I think that I have to trust that they have given that consideration. And so that's what I placed my board on.
I also want to thank everybody for making my time on this board enjoyable. Staff and other commissioners have been a lot of interesting personalities on the commission over the years. And I think the commission that you have right now is one of the best ones that I've seen. So have fun. And the Maxwell Council meeting is the same night as planning and zoning, and so if you send a plat down and ask for it approved, you're going to have to move your meeting back if you want it in time for your meeting. So.
Oh, you can call a special meeting.
We could. We won't. We could. But we will respond to all requests. It just won't be in a timely manner.
And me too. I guess this has been enjoyable. I have enjoyed this. You learn a lot, and it's been a good commission, good staff. Nancy, I appreciate your comments tonight. It's kind of nice to have a non a unanimous vote once in a while, so we know there's something going on here. But and Susan, I appreciate what you're saying. Are you voting your conscience, or are you voting how do you vote? And this won't be the first time you run into that dilemma. You'll run into it often, and you just have to do the best job that you can. Stephen, I really appreciate working with you. You're kind of Mr. Motion Maker here. Congratulations on you being the
I will never be able to make a motion again as mayor.
The new mayor of Maxwell, so congratulations to you. Dave, I've always enjoyed working with you too, so good luck in your new pig farming or your
potential.
The new role there as an officer, that'd be great. And staff and all of you, it's been really, you do a nice job. So thanks for all you do, Kristen, everybody. And with that, is there anything else we need to cover?
Staff comments.
Pardon?
Staff comments.
Okay. I'm sorry. Staff, please.
I just wanted to remind everyone you do have a meeting on January 6th, and even if we don't have any agenda items, it's your training, the first training schedule. We'll go over the Ames River Fringe Plan and the County Development Plan. I don't know if we'll have a full board or commission at that point or not. And we've had one interest submitted. I think that individual is the one that Daryl knows from Sauer. I think he'll be appointed, or Dan Foss.
Dan Foss.
Sorry. But if you do know of anyone, definitely have them contact me or one of us, and we can get the application materials and an overview to them.
There's a balance of city and unincorporated that has to be followed.
Right.
And what is that?
Majority unincorporated.
Majority unincorporated and What does it look like today?
All four of our current members, absent you two, are unincorporated members.
So even if somebody was from a city, you would be more than happy to take a look at the application. Okay. Thank you.
Then my other comment, I just want to thank you two for your years of service on Planning and Zoning Commission. Especially you're scheduled for next December, for December 10th, next Tuesday, to be recognized by the Board of Supervisors. If any of you want to come and join in, you may welcome to at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else have anything?
That's where we have the kicker.
Yeah.
This isn't like the final episode of MASH or something, you know?
Leftover wedding cake.
No, we're still county government.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
No, I never make the motion to adjourn.
Okay, I'll make the motion to adjourn. Okay. Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.